This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Joy 94.9, Monday afternoon, and a wet one at that. Now, with 15 novels already written and more on the way, in the studio with me is Cathy Kelly, an Irish author with a new book, It Started With Paris. Cathy Kelly, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Hello, Gordon. Thank you. And you put the weather on for me and everything.
Real Irish weather, I thought, when I was thinking,
Yeah, this is it. I have my raincoat and everything, though. See, an intelligent Irish woman always brings her raincoat, wherever she goes.
Yeah, well, this is the way you have to be, don't you? It's one country I've never been to. I would love to go to Ireland, but I've never really got there. Yeah,
it's lovely. I mean, we're friendly. We're a bit mental. You know what I mean?
One thing about the Irish, they're great storytellers.
Yes.
They love telling stories and they love singing stories and they love this communication thing, you know, which is amazing for, and there's been so many great Irish authors and writers.
I don't know where it comes from, Gordon, because when you think about it, we're a very small little island. I think part of it is the island thing, because when you're an island, you have to get on with everyone, especially a small island. So like 4 million people, and so we've gone everywhere. Well, first of all, we had the famine, and then we had to go everywhere. And then latterly, there's I think half of Ireland is currently in Australia, to be honest with you. The last person out of the country, please turn off the lights. But we do have this storytelling thing. It must be genetic, because, you know, it's like we were talking there a minute ago about wakes and the whole, there's a great Irish tradition of a wake and the chat, and everyone will have a big long story about the deceased, and it's just, I don't know, there's a party thing. And it's not just to do with the drink, the demon drink either. It's although we have a terrible habit of that as well, but it's to do with being able to tell a story. And maybe part of it goes back to a time when the Irish language, we weren't allowed to speak the Irish language.
That's right.
And therefore, people, you know, if you wanted to learn Irish or have education, you had to go to what they called hedge schools.
That's right.
And you see, you know your history there. And it was, I suppose, the oral tradition became important at a time in where the rest of the world, people were writing things down, but we weren't allowed to write things down.
No, I worked with a Catholic order of nuns, actually.
Oh, wow.
And knew all about the hedge schools and everything, because Nano Nagel started one of those.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. What was the name of the nuns?
The Presentation Sisters.
Oh, my God. My husband had 3 presentation aunts. But go on. Anyway, yes.
So I worked for them for 14 years. So that was rather fun. Yeah.
Incredible.
Incredible women.
Do you know, I always think it's very hard. These amazing women, I would not be fit into the Catholic mould anymore. I was brought up that way. I would have gone a whole different liberal ball game. But anyway, but they're these amazing women who do wonderful work, who were sort of cut off totally because they don't fit into the little box, which is very sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is really,
half the sky, as they say in China.
And so what made you to become an author?
Well, I was always a person who was interested in stories. Like as a kid, I used to sit in the dog's basket with a red setter and I'd, you know, feed her dog chocolates, one for her, one for me. And that was when dogs were still allowed to eat dog chocolates. And I would tell her stories. And then I had a baby sister and I'd tell her stories. And I used to write stories at school. And, you know, then I went through the period of writing the 14-year-old depressing poetry, you know. And finally, I ended up somehow in journalism college. And I ended up making my living writing. But it was a very hard way to make your living, I have to say. You know, it wasn't it was tough. It was news and it was the 80s and there was a lot of heroin in Ireland. It was a difficult time.
Yeah.
And we were our newspaper was sort of, you know, poor readership, you know, lower socioeconomic group. So I spent a lot of time doing a lot of really hard stories. And at the back of my mind was this idea that I'd like to write a book. And then one day I got off me ass and I sat down and I did it.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's it. 15 books later, you're still doing it.
15 books later, yeah. And I couldn't give up work because I couldn't afford to.
No.
I wrote 3 books and I worked full time.
Yeah. But where do you get your ideas for the books? Are they just anything that happens to you, or something like, you say, the latest book that started with Paris? Did you go to Paris to write that?
Well, sadly, no, Janie. I wish, I'll tell you. Although we were there during the summer. We went on a camping holiday. I'm married and I've 11-year-old twin sons. So we went on a camping holiday to France, and Hurricane Bertha followed us. So we got bucketed, basically. It was sort of like Melbourne all the time we were there. So eventually I said, please, can we leave the campsite? Because there were two ducks outside the campsite. And we went to Paris, and we did go up the Eiffel Tower. So that was as close to it as I got. No, there was, I was remembering the old journalistic trait. I was remembering when I was writing it. My books are generally about strong women going through difficult situations. They're not romance, you know, they're real life. I don't know if I believe in romance, but I started it in the Eiffel Tower because we have this lovely romantic engagement proposal, and then suddenly ping, we're into a real life with divorce and separation and people fighting over children and fun and frolics like that.
Right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And you're on Joy 94.9 and I'm having a lovely chat with Cathy Kelly, the wonderful Irish author. Are you ever going to stop writing?
I don't know. Do you know what? If I won the lottery tomorrow and someone said, you never have to work again, I'd keep doing it. I love it. I mightn't write a book a year. I might do things like tidy the house a bit because, you know, it's a bit like a bomb site. You know that way when you can let people into the downstairs, but the upstairs, you know, God help anyone if they ever gets in there. But I love writing. I love what I do. I do more charity work. I work for UNICEF.
That's another question I was going to ask you about your charity work for UNICEF and with children with HIV in Africa.
Yeah.
Yes. How did you get involved with that?
Well, I got involved 9 years ago because I was involved with a book they were doing, and myself and my husband were trying to sort of help them because they were self-publishing, UNICEF Ireland.
Yep.
We thought, you know, let's see if we can put our, you know, advice from the book industry there. And through that, they asked me when I get involved. And it's just been amazing. I've been to Africa 3 times and it's incredible. The first time I went, my own kids were 2. I have twins of 11. And to go to Africa, you see, I went to Mozambique and you see children who, you know, 1 in 5 of them is not going to reach their 5th birthday. And they die of diarrhea, they die of upper respiratory infections, that, you know, they die of malaria, all things that are actually fixable. You know, if they had a $6 malaria net in every house, we would eventually lower, you know, the herd immunity would go up.
That's right.
It's so simple. And I mean, it is, of course, it does mean the hand in the pocket, but it's just startling to see that. And then I went to Rwanda, which is an incredible place. I always wanted to go to Auschwitz or somewhere like that, because when I was younger I was fascinated by the concept of, I suppose, genocide and the Holocaust. But I don't think I could now after seeing Rwanda, because it was so horrific. I mean, wonderful country, positive government. I mean, yes, Paul Kagame has been having some negative reactions of late, but low HIV rate, doing a lot for education. But this, you know, this is there in the background, and you go to this museum and you're standing on the bones of people who were killed over a 3-month period by their neighbours. It's just shattering. And this is going on all around with the world. You know, you look at Darfur, you know, you look at what's happening with the ISIS, you know.
That's right. Yes, it's happening all around the world. And I begin to wonder about humanity sometimes. Yeah. I really get, it gets me, you know, and I think, why are we doing this to one another? Why is it happening?
I agree with you.
It just gets me somewhere along the line. And one day you're going to have to write a book about your involvement with this, you know.
I would love to do that. I have to say, I'm very passionately involved with it. I do everything I can. I always talk about it. I write about it. I go to everything I can for them. Actually, there's another lovely, amazing guy, Henning Mankel, who's another writer. He lives in Mozambique, and he's written a book which is totally different from his normal sort of Valander series about life in Mozambique, and it would be an amazing thing to do. I'd have to do it when my kids are older, but it'd be lovely to show people the work that goes on. It's like a ballet that you have in an aid organization where you're trying to sink wells so people have water, because 70% of people, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa don't have clean water. So the kids die of diarrhea, you know. That bog standard simple, people die. You know, it's something wrong.
That's where we here in Australia, we're very fortunate with the HIV thing, because I've been working with HIV people for 21 years, and we were very fortunate. We had a good government at the time, and they did everything right, you know. And but it's still, the infection rate is still going up, which is a huge problem. And until they find a vaccine, of course, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But there are different things are happening. You read all about it and everything, you know. But it's the children in Africa that you really feel sorry for, because they're innocent people.
I think realistically, I think anyone who contracts HIV, they're innocent. I mean, who goes out there and says,
"Oh,
yes,
you don't
today,
go out.
Exactly,
I'm going to get it.
Exactly, today I'm going to have to get it." Yep. But at least in the West, to a certain extent, it can be a chronic, yes, and ultimately fatal disease. But with these kids over there, I mean, there was no pediatric solution because it wasn't a problem for children in the West. Therefore, Big Pharma did nothing about it.
No.
And that's the horrible thing if you look at it from that point of view. That's completely frightening. So yeah, and kids, women and kids are the largest group getting it for, you know, just because it's a very patriarchal society.
It goes
down to rights, you know, what we talk about every day. Human beings, the rights of human beings to live their life the way they want to.
And that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's shattering.
We'll get off something that now. Being Irish, do you follow the racehorses?
Do you know what? Not a huge amount. Years ago, I know we have the Melbourne Cup is coming up because I was in the shops earlier and there was mad hats everywhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't escape the mad hats. When I was in the newspaper business, the news editor had a bit of a horse. I think he had like one bit of its leg, right? And it was running in some fabulous thing and it had won twice. And if it won the third time, I don't know what it was going to get. It was going to get a bucket of gold or something. So we all went along and I went in to place a bet and someone said, put, you know, fiver on evens. And I was so thick that I didn't know that meant you had to put a tenner on. I was outraged. A whole tenner. So come here, are there Irish horses up for the role? Well, with our few Irish horses.
Well, Adelaide won the WS Cox Plate, and that's from Ireland.
Yes, I heard that on the news.
Yes, yeah, and I thought, when I heard it, I knew I was going to be talking to you today, and I thought, I wonder if Kathy had a little wager on that one.
No, I have to say now, it is, yes, I have many failings, but thankfully, going into the bookies is not one of them. You see, I pick them because I like the look of them. I go, nah, that's a lovely horse, or I like the colour, you know, clearly.
I like the names too,
yeah, you see. We're probably doing it all wrong.
That's right, yeah, we are doing it all wrong.
I did win on the Grand National once in the office. We had a sort of a pool
sweep.
Thing,
yeah.
A sweep, yeah. But then I had to go into the pub and buy them all drinks, so the money was gone. Do you know yourself?
It was
a waste.
Yeah. And you're in Australia for a couple of weeks yet, aren't you?
Yeah, I have another week to go. I've been in New Zealand and I've been in Sydney and I've been in Hobart and I'm going back to Sydney tomorrow and then I'm going to Perth and I'm going to Brisbane and then I'm going home to see the little children.
Well, it's about time you got home, isn't it?
I know.
But you're going back home to winter.
I am going back home to winter, I know. Disgraceful mother to be out gallivanting all together. But we have the thingamabobber, you know, sorry, I'm very bad with technology. You know, your iMessaging,
Yep. You can keep it. You can keep contact with today with this with the modern technology. It's amazing. You can be in Australia and you can talk to them over in Ireland and you can say, what are you doing? You can look at them even, you know.
Fabulous, although the dogs are very bewildered. I have three Jack Russells and the dogs are just going, what's happening? Where is her voice coming from? It's very strange.
Yes. Kathy, your books are available in bookstores, all bookstores now, aren't they?
Yeah, all bookstores, yes. And it started with Paris and it's got fun, it's got sadness, it's got real life and it's got a bit of an old laugh as well. You see, it couldn't be an Irish book without a bit of a laugh.
Well, Irish humour is superb stuff.
Thank you, my darling Gordon.
I love Irish humour. And I saw the Irish show up at the theatre the other night
Did you?
Yes. And
is it amazing?
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
Is it amazing? Actually, we can put on a show.
Yeah, well, you can all sing and dance and do everything you want to, as well as write great stories.
You want me to sing as well? Oh, sure. Okay.
Kathy, thank you very much for coming in and sharing a little bit of time with Joy 94.9. And don't forget, if you'd like a lovely romantic story, It Started With Paris by Kathy Kelly.
Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you very much.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.